Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's Thursday. Every Thursday during the 90-day, roughly, legislative session here in Montana, we do a legislative update. We have both Democrat and Republican leadership join us here every Thursday. Plus, I just did a great update with Attorney General Austin Knutson, looking at some of the proposals that he is specifically looking at in the legislative session here. It looks like we've got Senate President Matt Regeer with us here on our Teams platform that we're doing here from the Capitol. In fact, I can see his pretty face right there. Let me see if I can hear him. Mr. President, how you doing back there in Helena?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, that's right. My mom always said I got a fixed deal. Man, old joke. But thanks for inviting me, Aaron. Well, good morning, Montana.
I don't even have a face for radio, but here I am regardless. So before I jump into some questions or topics that have been standing out to me, what do you want to tell folks all across Montana? What's moving and shaking in the Montana Senate specifically this week?
Specifically this week, we've got our appropriation subcommittees voting on their budget, House Bill 2. They're starting to put that together. So they're taking executive action on that. So it'll be very interesting to see how they break down each of those budgets for each of the departments there for the state.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, we also have Medicaid expansions on the floor today, and that's Representative Buttrey's bill to just continue the program. So that'll be an interesting debate on the floor today. We're starting to get more House bills over here to the Senate, too, which you get so focused on your own people's bills. It's fun to see all the good ideas coming over from the House, too.
Yeah, that Medicaid expansion debate will be interesting. Obviously, I think everybody already kind of sees the writing on the wall that there's a handful of Republicans that will vote with the Democrats to just continue the reauthorization of Medicaid expansion. But, could they at least be convinced to add a significant work requirement to Medicaid expansion or other means testing into it so we at least get some sideboards on there?
Yeah, I think that's still up for debate. The bill as is now is probably going to go through and it'll take another bill, but we do have another bill and we call that the Georgia model. Georgia has done this where I don't know how deep to get into the weeds, but with the ACA, the federal exchange, they put all the people that are available or that are qualified for the exchange on the exchange, and that really shrunk the roles of Medicaid expansion and threw in work requirements to that too, because then all you're left is total able-bodied adults. Let's really just make Medicaid expansion a safety net instead of a lifestyle. So that's another bill that will be coming after this one.
Yeah, that one seems very interesting. I think my friend David Noble has made that point where, look, nobody who needs it would actually lose health care. You could just move them over to that system. So it sounds like that's the Georgia model. All right, hold that thought back with Senate President Regeer right after this. Hey, if you want to...
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to it here with Montana Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, joining us from the Capitol in Helena. I caught up yesterday morning with Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, and there were some interesting bills they're working on the House side. A ban on fake meat, lab-grown meat, that sounds like a good one. A bill to protect car dealerships from being forced to buy electric vehicles from the manufacturers. They ain't going to sell here. Why should they be forced to buy them? And then this was one that really stood out to me, House Bill 377. Apparently, Mr. President, I'm sure you're tracking this, apparently hospitals across the state
are trying to circumvent parents' rights and not allow parents to have access to their teenage kids' medical information. I know a lot of our listeners have been just outraged by this development.
Yeah, it's and we talked with the a lot of the CEOs of the hospitals. They were up here one time, and they were very cryptic on even the laws that are on the books. They're allowing parents access to their medical records, which is really disappointing. So once again, we need to take a look at the healthcare industry. I mean, obviously, that's one silver lining of the COVID that shined a light on the things that need to be fixed, especially within our medical system. And that's one of those, parents being in charge of their kids and their kids' healthcare.
Well, look, when it comes to the Medicaid expansion debate, I get it. There's some Republicans who feel like they have to, you know, support expansion because of the pressure from their local hospital or whatever. But what I would just tell them is don't just buy hook, line, and sinker everything that the medical industry is trying to sell you either, though, here. Don't be afraid to push back on these folks, because I think your constituents expect that.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that is... Gosh, I wish I always listen to you. I'm a construction guy, and I always listen to you in the morning to get my updates on what Montana's thinking, and I can't do that when I'm so busy here in the Capitol. But interesting on how many calls you get of people talking about Medicaid expansion. And, I mean, one of those is going to be that in 2018, the people voted that program down, and now we're turning around and looking to keep it going and put it back in. So that's one talking point of many that I have. There's a tax on your stay there at the hospital that goes to support Medicaid expansion. $60 million a year of private pay is paying more for healthcare to support this program. So it's a tax on healthcare. It's a billion-dollar program. I could go on and on about the negative effects that nobody seems to talk about on this expansion program.
Yeah. Hey, let me sneak in a quick caller here. I know you like to take phone calls, yeah. And we've got somebody on the line here. I know it's a quick conversation, but let's go to Jason in Polson. Jason, did you have a quick question or comment here?
Yes. I when concerned about House Bill 27 and the effects that it would have on our small hobby farming, or we use our 5 acres for providing food for, we grow a garden, we have chickens, we have cattle on neighboring properties. I've got a couple of neighbors that are retired, living on Social Security. And with House Bill 27, it would, from what I understand, it's going to increase. It's going to change the tax status of that property.
Okay. All right. Great. So I think I know that the direction you're going. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Yeah. Great question. Mr. President, hopefully you could hear that through the computer there. You could hear our caller just like you would if you were calling in on the phone lines. But they are talking about changing agricultural land tax status, which even the ag community says, look, if somebody's claiming an ag, you know, tax status and they really don't qualify for it, they shouldn't get it. But it sounds like what Jason is referring to here is he's using it for agriculture. He should still be taxed as if it's agriculture. What are you tracking on those conversations?
Yeah, and I mean, he's got a good point. I know that House bill is still, I don't even know if that's gone to the floor there in the House. I know we haven't got it in the Senate over here yet, but I've heard about it. Haven't sat down to study that, but I think that concept is, I mean, we need to take a look at whether that's the right bill and the right way to do it. If you come in and buy a huge house on Flathead Lake and put in a couple cherry trees, should you get egg value, I think, is the other side of that coin. So obviously don't want unintended consequences for the guys that truly do have egg property to pay an egg rate.
You know, I saw Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association had a great legislative update as well. Collegiate shooting sports. This is kind of a cool one. To me, like shooting sports, it's big down in the Southeast. Attorney General Austin Knutson was telling me, this is Montana. This is what we do. This shooting sports on our college campuses should be as big as rodeo on our college campuses, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think absolutely right, Aaron. And that is something that is growing. I know I was talking with national guys on we tax the ammo and firearms, and that's where a lot of the Pittman Roberts and Dingell Johnson money comes from. And a lot of that is from shooting sports. I didn't realize how much of a sport that is growing. And I think that is something definitely, especially here in Montana. Let's get let's get the next generation familiar with firearms and everything that comes with that.
Do you think that once Medicaid expansion is done in the Senate, that some of the handful of Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats on rules, do you think they'll finally stop undermining leadership, or do you think the fight may continue there? And we got about 30 seconds, and I can come back to you after the break if you want to add more.
Sure, I sure hope so. It's been disappointing to say the least so far, but hopefully, I don't know what the political glue was that was holding that coalition of Democrats and a handful of Republicans together, but hopefully we can break that and get back to a majority party.
All right. Well, what else is moving and shaking in the Montana Senate this week or in the week ahead? I'll come back to Senate President Matt Regeer quickly after the break here, and then we should have Democrat Minority Whip in the House, Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, coming up right after this as well. So stand by if you can.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to jump over here quickly in just a second to Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula for a legislative update on that front. And then coming up in the second half, we'll try to sneak in some of your phone calls. And we're going to talk about all the records that were broken this week with the National Weather Service offices. So that'll be coming up here as well. Senate President Matt Regeer, since we got cut off by the hard break there, anything else you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, lots moving and shaking here in the Senate. Senator Teresa Manzella has a constitutional amendment for citizens only vote. I don't know if that's been hyped yet. I mean, to me, it's common sense, straightforward. Senator Daniel Zolikoff has a bill to who controls your own thoughts, you know, with Elon Musk and his neurological data that at paraplegics controlling stuff. It's really cutting edge of not letting Google have advertisements on thoughts. And it's a weird concept to think about, but a lot of interesting bills here like that that are going through the Senate that are, I think, are kind of ahead of the game.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us for this weekly update. Maybe next week we'll try to get maybe both you and Carlin on for the full hour. We can mix in more phone calls because that was fun sneaking in that call there from Jason and Polson as well. Senate President Matt Regeer, great to have you as always. Greatly appreciated. Okay, let me switch over to our next conversation here. Let's see. I think he's already on the line with us here. I'm using this new computer platform. So we get to get some crisper audio delivered for our listeners across the state. Okay, let's go. Come on, computer. You can do it, computer. Let's go. Let's see. All right. I've got to do it on my computer or I'd be even faster with it here. All right. Let me see. I'm joining that conversation now. And it looks like we've got him. We've got... let me just press the right button here. Apologize. Okay, all right. It might digitize for a second, but yeah, Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, great to have you on the show once again. Before I throw any questions your way, what legislation do you want to tell our listeners about across Montana?
Hey, Aaron. Back. We had a really great hearing yesterday on a child care legislation with strong support from the Chamber of Commerce. Business groups across the state have been talking about the need to make childcare more affordable and accessible for their employees. So I've got a bill that would expand the Best Beginning Scholarship Program so that we're incentivizing people to work, re-enter the workforce, stay in the workforce, and we're doing that by being able to have affordable, accessible childcare for their kids. So I'm hopeful we can get that bill out of committee and through the House.
Yeah, God, that's very interesting because, hey, even if you can afford housing to live in Montana, how, if you've got little kids, how are you going to be able to pay for childcare to be able to go to work to pay for that house, to pay for that mortgage payment or the rent or whatever? And I know the Missoula Chamber of Commerce in particular, your neck of the woods there, they have consistently highlighted this as one of the major concerns for trying to get a workforce up and running, you know, to get more workers in the workforce there in Missoula in particular.
You know, and I'm getting a lot of feedback, so it's pretty hard to hear you there.
Oh, okay. You know what? It might be because if you want to call in back on our studio phone line instead, feel free. if that's just a little easier. Because, I've heard that sometimes this can get feedback on here, depending on if you're using headphones on your end or whatever. So I'll tell you what.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go ahead and give you a call back just so I can't really hear you.
Yeah, perfect. Let's do that, because I know that could be frustrating on your end, and then you probably come up choppy because you're hearing feedback. So, okay, yeah, give us a call, 406-294-0970, just like our callers would call in, and we'll get to you here in a second. While we get him on the phone lines here, speaking of kids, one of the bills that Attorney General Austin Knutson was telling me about was it's a bill to strengthen the laws regarding the criminal endangerment of children. And what they found is this bill is particular targeting drug use in the home in particular. And what they realized is that they didn't have fentanyl and the abuse of fentanyl, illicit fentanyl, included in that child endangerment legislation. So right now they've got legislation in the legislature to add fentanyl to that list. So anyway, there's one other legislative update for you here. All right, we've got Representative Carlin on the phone lines. Thanks for calling in there. Yeah, the point I was making was just how the issue of child care has consistently, by the Missoula Chamber of Commerce, has been a major issue. They've said that for developing the workforce in Missoula is that if people, you know, can't access child care, how are they going to fill the jobs?
Well, that's exactly right, and we also had the Billings Chamber of Commerce come in support as well, and I've got another bill tomorrow also to try to incentivize folks to work in child care. They have a hard time finding good people that want to work in child care, stay in child care because of the low wages, so I'm really hopeful. I think that there's some real bipartisan opportunity in strengthening our child care system.
Do the regulations need to be looked at as well? I mean, it used to be that you know, it was just so much easier. Like, if you just needed child care, there weren't all these regulations and things like that. Obviously, some need to be in place, you know, to protect kids and families and things like that. But has the pendulum swung too far in one direction?
Yeah, it's a good question. We looked at this on the Economic Affairs Interim Committee. I think we're generally at the sweet spot with regulations, because if we loosen things too much, insurance start to skyrocket for these providers. They've already been struggling with high insurance rates because a lot of those regulations are in place for, you know, the safety of infants, 3-4-year-olds. And so I think that what I've been hearing from providers is that if we make too many regulatory changes, they're going to start getting really concerned about higher insurance rates.
One of the big topics we've covered almost on a weekly basis with you and with Republican leadership as well is, of course, property taxes. Just massive support across the state for lowering property taxes, and it sounds like bipartisan support for some sort of a homestead exemption on that front. The ag community in particular, we had a caller that we snuck in, Jason and Polson, as President Regeer was on the show with us, and his concern was, he's like, look, I have a smaller operation, obviously, but I have crops, I have cattle, and now they want to increase my taxes, apparently. And so it's interesting, because I know even the ag community is saying, look, there are people that might be claiming an ag exemption even though they're not using the land for actual farming and ranching, so we need to tighten that up. But how do we do that without also potentially throwing some actual producers under the bus?
Yeah, I actually heard that call when I was listening to the president's segment. And I think what both parties generally agree is that if you're getting the ag rate, you should be involved in production agriculture. What we are trying to avoid, and like I said, I think it's bipartisan, is that a lot of people are taking advantage of the ag rate and because, you know, who are not involved in production agriculture, you know, who own a large home, they own some land, they can, you know, plant, as President Regeer said, some cherry trees, and now they're paying a significantly lower rate sometimes than somebody living across the street in a very small, modest home. And so I think what we want to do is make sure that people that are in agriculture are getting the ag rate, and that it's not being taken advantage of. And I actually don't think that's even a partisan issue.
Speaking of agriculture, maybe a random one to throw at you. There's discussion about creating a cattle committee similar to the wheat and barley committee to promote Montana beef. This would include an additional checkoff, but it would be targeted just at Montana beef promotion in particular. I heard Walt Schweitzer with the Farmers Union, which is, of course, more left-leaning. He said, you know, we're not opposed to a new checkoff. He was saying he just doesn't want it to be appointed by the governor. He'd rather the money just go to the current, you know, beef checkoff committee, et cetera. Any thoughts on that one? I know it may not be something you're necessarily focused on.
Yeah, I think I voted against that because it was very open-ended with who's on that committee. It seemed like it would be just a lot of kind of more. I think we've got so many councils, we have so many committees, and this would just be giving the governor kind of to appoint whatever friends he wants. So I think we already have existing systems to promote Montana products. I'm happy to support that. If we want to support our ag producers, we've brought repair legislation, and that's something that we had a hearing last week. It was tabled by Republicans in committee, and I'm really hoping they'll take that off the table because I think that's how we can really support Montana farmers.
I got to get your take on this. Representative Katie Sullivan out of Missoula, had a great chat with her when I was in Helena a few weeks ago. But she did an interview after the November elections where she said, look, the Democrats have got to change their pitch. They've got to change their focus. I saw that Tim Walz, who was Kamala Harris's running mate in November, is going to be the Mansfield Metcalf dinner speaker. Do you think that helps or hurts Montana Democrats?
Man, I'm not overly concerned about dinner speakers. I mean, we're focused on killing bad bills, like Republicans trying to send public dollars to private schools, Republicans trying to ban vaccines, create a partisan judiciary. So I have not given too much thought to who's speaking at different dinners. But to me, I mean, I guess it's just something I'm not overly concerned about. I think if folks want to come out and see Tim Walz, they will, and if they don't, they won't.
All right. So, yeah, because it just kind of seems like, especially given the continued push for, you know, supporting men and women's bathrooms and things like that, that Tim Walz is kind of a sign that, you know, they're still going down the same path.
Yeah, you know, I think that what Montanans see is that what Democrats are fighting for in the state house is, you know, we're fighting for health care, we're fighting for child care, we're fighting for housing and to lower the property taxes. And so what I point people to is we can't control what's going on at the national level, but what we can do is show them the results that we're bringing and how we're fighting things like a partisan judiciary, things that Montanans don't want. And so I'd say I think people can look to the results that we're bringing, not national rhetoric.
All right. Representative Jonathan Carlin, Democrat House Minority Whip, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for your patience with the technology there for a couple of minutes as well. And, hey, like I mentioned to President Regeer, maybe we can get both of you guys on for the full hour next week, and we can mix in a lot more callers. We'll get to some callers right after this. Plus, we're going to check in with the National Weather Service to talk about all these cold weather records that were busted this week.
This is where Montana talks back. With Lane Nordlund.
Trade talks between President Donald Trump and India's Prime Minister Modi may provide a huge opportunity for Montana pulse crop producers. But high tariffs have been a roadblock for the pulse industry to enter the Indian market. India's high tariffs cut U.S. pulse exports from $174 million in 2014 to under $1 million in 2023. But recent tariff removals on chickpeas and lentils with duty exemptions through March of 2025 have been beneficial. Tim McGreevy, CEO of USA Pulses, says if these negotiations can lower barriers, it can be a game changer for American farmers. President Donald Trump had this to say during a press conference with the Prime Minister.
India, whatever India charges, we charge them. So, frankly, it no longer matters to us that much what they charge. And we're just going to say whatever you charge, we charge. And I think that's fair for the people of the United States. And I think it's actually fair for India.
India's pulse imports surged 90% in 2023-24 due to lower domestic production. Meanwhile, U.S. lentil, pea, and chickpea output grew significantly, positioning American farmers to meet India's growing demand. Now, with a goal of expanding trade to $500 billion by 2030, the U.S. and India are making efforts to strengthen economic ties, which could mean greater access for Montana farmers. I'm Lane Nordlund.
serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, I definitely want to get to some of your phone calls. We've had such a busy week with so many guests scheduled for the show that I definitely want to get to some of your phone calls here. 406-294-0970. And then in just a second, I want to sneak on Joe Lester from the National Weather Service office in Billings. Man, top 10 list for snowiest cities, snowiest towns in America. There's a Montana town on the list. And apparently we've been breaking some cold records left and right. So we'll get to some of those highlights here in just a second. And then we'll jump right back into your phone calls as well. So call in right now if you got something you want to talk about or you want to react to some of our legislative update conversations. Before we get to Joe Lester, let's go to our friend Jared in Anaconda, listening to KXTL. Jared, great to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, I just wanted to give you props for always giving kind of a level platform for people. I mean, I wish more Democrats would call in, but that's just how it is. But you do a really good job, and it'd be nice if more Democrat legislators actually called in to, you know, just kind of let everybody know, because we're not evil people. I mean, most of my friends are Republicans, but it is nice to hear, like, an actual person that's a Democrat that has power, you know, call in and give a just kind of description of what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, well,
that's
really,
all I really,
and
to
really,
you do a good job.
Well, you're too kind, Jared. Yeah, and I know we don't agree on everything, but we also have found that there's a lot we agree on too. And yeah, great to hear from you. Yeah, Jared is one of our Democrat callers who calls in from time to time. And yeah, no, I've always been amazed. It's like, you know, oftentimes you'll hear some of the Democrats and they'll complain about what's being said on talk radio. And sometimes it's not even what I'm saying. It's what a caller from Plentywood might say or a caller from Missoula might say. And they'll sit there and they'll tweet and they'll complain. And there was one legislative candidate, a Democrat in Great Falls, and she was always tweeting about, well, talk radio this and talk radio that. And I'm like, you know, the phone lines are open for anybody. Anybody can call in, and yet it's like, oh, no, they'll just sit back and complain but never actually jump in on the conversation. That's why I think, you know, hats off to Jonathan Carlin for being willing to come on and take questions, because usually they'll just go to the softball media out there that just, you know, it just gives them a pass on everything. So I appreciate it. No, Jared, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. All right, Gary and Terry, stand by. We'll get to you here in a second as well. But first, Joe Lester with the National Weather Service office in Billings. Joe, for me, it's kind of like trying to keep up with all the news about what President Donald J. Trump is doing. There is so much happening that it's hard to keep up with it all. Kind of the same thing on the weather front this week. There's so many snow records, cold weather records. It's been hard to keep up with it all. So what's standing out to you at the National Weather Service?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. And, I think you summed it up there pretty nice. We've had a remarkable cold stretch, and as you were talking, it got me thinking how we hear from some folks out there that, you know, it's a winter like we used to have or something like that. And that's really not true. We had a lot of warm and dry winters back 60, 80, 90 years ago. And this one is up there. And so as far as this current cold stretch, and to give you an idea, if you go back, and I had just pulled this up, we've had 13 consecutive days here in Billings with a high temperature less than 17. And it may not sound like much, but that is the second longest stretch on record for any time of year, all the way back to 1934. So it's pretty remarkable to go this long and accumulate the kind of snow that we've accumulated over, you know, a couple weeks stretch and not have it melt. And so it is a remarkable stretch, and now we're about to really turn that around. and see a lot of problems with the snow melt. And so that's really the main story moving ahead over the next, you know, through the weekend and through next week is the snow melt.
I was going to say the roof of my house has like this snow overhang. Like you would think it was a chalet up on, you know, Big Sky or Big Mountain or something right now, because it's just got this massive overhang. And so, yeah, there were some, I think number seven, I think Michael Foth did a story on our Montana Talks website that Billings is the seventh snowiest city or town, if you want to call it a city, a town, in America right now. And so that's interesting. And I know there were some snowfall records that were broken during the past several days as well. And so talk about cold weather temperatures as well that you've been seeing across Montana. Yesterday morning was probably the worst all week. It got a little warmer today, but still, you know, below zero. But, I mean, there was 40, 50, 60 below zero with wind chill factored in. And then parts of Canada got 70 below zero.
Right. It's a pretty significantly cold air mass. I think the coldest spot in our forecast area down here in southeast Montana was a co-op observer station over in Huntley that checked in with minus 48 yesterday morning. And now all that cold air is kind of moving off to the east and southeast. And it's real cold all up and down the central part of the U.S. right now as we start to bring in some warmer air from the west. And so the air mass is departing, but like you said, it's been a real cold one for sure.
It was funny. I went to pick up my daughter from her middle school yesterday, and it was still, I think, maybe 1 degree above or 1 degree below. I can't remember. But that is so much warmer than the 21 below zero that was earlier in the morning. Kids were walking around with just sweatshirts on, right? You know, no winter coat, no gloves. And then they were throwing snowballs at each other. So, like, by Saturday afternoon, they're going to be out in shorts and T-shirts like it's 70-degree weather.
Absolutely. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I've been telling my wife this is what winters up there are like. Just cold, but not a lot of wind, and just a lot of snow on the ground. It's just that way every day. So no doubt they'll be out there, as my kids will, I'm sure, with T-shirts and shorts.
You thought you were escaping this, and it followed you to Montana.
No, I didn't want to escape it. I'd like to see more of it.
I love the snow, too. I do love the snow, too. And I love the fact we're really blessed that we get all four seasons here in Montana because,
exactly,
you know, that we needed this snow. We need the moisture. There's parts of the state that still need the moisture. And and then on top of that, it's, you know, hey, a Chris Stapleton song came on the radio yesterday, and I could already feel the sunshine, and I could feel the pontoon, and I could feel the water. So it'll be here. It'll be here eventually.
Yeah, and like you said, Aaron, we've gone a long way to making up those snowfall deficits we had just even a month ago. You know, the mountains have mostly caught up, just about pretty close to normal snowpack now up there as far as water in the snowpack. Obviously, we have a lot of snow on the ground at the lower elevations. And so, you know, it's a big change from how it looked a month ago.
Yeah, and that's certainly for the Beartooth and south central, southeast Montana. I know Northwest probably still needs a little bit more moisture to catch up, it sounds like, up there in that neck of the woods. Any other major record-breaking numbers that stood out to you, or other kind of things that stood out to you from across the state?
You know, I think, you know, as far as the extreme cold, we did have that yesterday. There was quite a few record lows across the area yesterday. But I think the main thing is how long it's been as cold as it has. And we've got this snow on the ground. And that's the big story, Aaron, moving forward, is we're going to see much warmer temperatures here. It's knocking on our door. It's going to be a lot warmer this weekend, next week, all across the eastern, you know, east of the mountains across Montana. And we're going to see a lot of snow melt, a lot of water, a lot of, you know, snow sliding off your roof and icicles and slush and rutty roads and just water everywhere. And so that's the main story. There's a lot of water in the snow out there, and that's the real story moving ahead here.
That's right. Maybe some ice jams and some
ice jams
stream
as well.
Flooding in parts of the states as well, as you start to see a lot of that melt and then freezing at night. And then the melting and the freezing can create road conditions. Joe Lester with the National Weather Service office in Billings, thanks so much for your time this morning. Appreciate all you do.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Let's see. Now, we've got the phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. Let's see. Gary and Terry, what's on your mind, Gary?
Yes, a couple of thoughts. First, don't rely on others to do for you what you should be doing for yourself. Now, a book that I suggest for every farmer is Animal Farm by George Orwell, which will tell them all about organization and what it does for you and against you. It was written by George Orwell back in the 40s, which he went to prison for in Russia. It's an interesting read, and it's very short.
Probably some interesting implications and tie-ins with the news of the day of what we're seeing in the world right now as well. Gary, hold that thought. I know you've got another thought that you want to share as well. We got to take a quick break. We'll go back to Gary and Terry right after this, and then we've got Jacob in Billings right after that.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So how does the classic book Animal Farm, not Animal House, Animal Farm, how does that apply to today? Especially everything in the news. I'd be interested in kind of hearing Gary's thoughts on that, or maybe your thoughts on that as well. By the way, speaking of Terry, Montana, it was great driving through Terry and stopping in Fallon for dinner when we went to the Gates Show in Glendive. If I missed you in Glendive, hey, I'm going to be back. It's Friday, March 7th. I think I got the date right. I know it's that Friday. I will be the keynote speaker for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. So I hope to see all of you there. All of our friends in Eastern Montana, come down, get your tickets for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And I'd love to see you there because we're going to have a lot of fun with a lot of great folks. Gary and Terry, I know you had one other thought you wanted to share as well.
Yes. The question was, what does Animal Farm contribute to the current day?
Yeah.
It illustrates the point that I think Trump is trying to overcome, and that is that when you let rogues run the country, as they did in Russia, you are bound to fail.
Mm.
And it will drive the farmer off the land.
Wow.
And
that is interesting.
The problem that we are facing today with taxes, and taxes.
And everything else. You know, when you talk about rogues running the government and running the farmers and the ranchers off the land, wow. That's exactly what Tracy Stone Manning, who was the head of the Biden Bureau of Land Management, was doing in her capacity. Rogue bureaucrats trying to run the ranchers off the land. That's why she kept ruling consistently on behalf of the American Prairie Reserve, the APR, that wants to kick the ranchers off the land. Fascinating insight, Gary. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go next. We've got Jacob in Billings. Jacob, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, since we're talking about the American Prairie Reserve, I would like to outline some of the people behind it. There's these board members, David A. Coulter. He's the ex-CEO of Bank of America. He's a billionaire. Then there's the Mars family, Harris. She's also another billionaire. Then there is Alan Earth, a real estate investor. There is George E. Matalich, another owner of a private equity firm. And this is all these people. There's also Keith Anderson, who is one of the founders of BlackRock. He runs Blackstone.
Mm.
And this is who is behind the American Prairie Reserve. And they're actually trying to run this big campaign right now. And they're letting people hunt. It's the same thing they do over in Livingston with Arthur Blank. You know, he gives like 100 tags out a year for people to hunt locally, but the guy's buying up the entire valley. And if you actually look at Arthur Blank's 501c3 nonprofit, you go on the site and he's hosted all of these extreme leftist NGOs. This is just a big smoke.
Yeah, he funds some woke stuff. He funds some good stuff, but a lot of woke, crazy stuff. Yeah, you mentioned the Mars family. They're radical environmentalists who are behind all of these anti-Montana groups, environmental groups. And then Matulich, isn't that the guy that's got a place near Big Timber that always likes to try to lock up the roads so that Montanans can't access public lands? But, oh, he's a backer of the APR. That's rich.
Oh, yeah, the guy's a complete snake in the grass. I mean, I don't understand what these people think that they're doing. To me, it just seems like they're trying to destroy the heart and soul of Montana. They're trying to isolate ranchers. They're trying to destroy ranching communities. You know, they're using subversive tactics. I've asked, you know, representatives about them, and they were working behind the scenes with this Department of Interior to, you know, get rulings in their favor for, like, you know, year-round grazing rights for bison or removing internal...
Of course. And that's why it's so fascinating to see everything that Doge is exposing right now, where these anti-American groups, these anti-farming and ranching groups are getting our taxpayer dollars. I mean, I just read a story here, and Jacob, thanks for the call. Sorry we're short on time. I want to try to sneak on at least one more caller here, but $2 billion with a B. The Washington Free Beacon is reporting that Stacey Abrams started up a green group in 2023, and Biden gave her $2 billion with a B. Hell, 10% of that money alone would have paid for the entire St. Mary irrigation project upgrades. Just 10% of the $2 billion they gave to that crook Stacey Abrams in Georgia. My goodness. The fraud is just outrageous. Tim in Billings on the phone lines to close us out. We got about a minute or so to go. Tim, thanks for the call.
Stacey Abrams, who happens to be an election denier because she still thinks she won the gubernatorial race in Georgia several years ago. But
yep.
Anyways, no, yesterday the Montana Economic Minute and also on the Fox News update this morning, they were talking about the Federal Reserve and interest rates and the unemployment numbers. And I'm shocked, Aaron, just shocked. That the Federal Reserve and the bureaucracy would have maybe fudged those numbers to make it look like the economy was doing better just prior to the election. I mean, could you imagine bureaucrats trying to keep Donald Trump from having an edge in the election? I mean, I am just shocked that that would happen. How about you?
Yeah, and yet, listen to these guys, the shut up and wear your mask crowd, the shut down churches but keep Planned Parenthood up, and fascists. Fascism. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Man, we got a great show lined up for you tomorrow. I'll tell you about that in the promo because I'm out of time for right now.
Hey.